fleeing to Egypt. The story of Christmas has so many beautiful facets that we've looked at over the last few weeks. Shepherds, wise men, Gabriel, Joseph, Mary, Simeon, Anna, all are important participants in the birth of Christ. Today we're going to look at the family's flight into Egypt and how fitting this is as we face our new year. After the visitation of the wise men and God's warning that they should avoid Herod in their return home, God's angel visits Joseph in a dream with a similar warning. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to seek for the child to kill him. Joseph doesn't waste a second of time, but wakens Mary, and together with the toddler Jesus, they flee into Egypt. It's wonderful to see the receptivity of Joseph to the instruction of the Lord. First, he takes Mary as his wife, and then when the angel speaks again, he rouses his family from their slumber and hastens them to Egypt. It begs the question, how receptive have we been to God's message, whether of warning or direction? Joseph's example illustrates to us how very important it is for us to make the decision to believe the Lord and do what he commands, even if we don't necessarily understand how each instruction can be true. Mary, a virgin, bearing a child of God? Herod, the king, seeking to kill their young child? But Joseph listens and obeys, showing us what we too must do when God speaks. Once again, as with their journey to Bethlehem, the young family fulfills prophecy, even though they don't necessarily appreciate it at the time. In fleeing to Egypt, Joseph completes the prophet Hosea's word, "I called my son out of Egypt," spoken 700 years before. What part of your life is fulfilling the prophetic word of God? The tragedy in their case is that the wicked Herod did intend to destroy the Messiah Jesus because he hoped that he could prevent him from becoming the king of the Jews. Thus Herod sends his soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Jeremiah had warned of this moment, saying, "A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are no more." Think of all the mothers and fathers who lost their little boys during this terrible, hateful rampage. What horrible grief they must have felt. Once again, the Christmas story ministers to countless families that have lost loved ones during this season. For when we look at Jeremiah's word, we read again God's encouragement. "Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you," says the Lord. There is hope for your future, as God promises future restoration. Think, too, of how heartsore Mary and Joseph must have been, for surely they knew some of the families who suffered this painful loss. Of course, you'd be relieved that your precious son was spared, but sorrowful for so many of those whose son was killed. Understanding the will of God amid such tragedy can only come from him. And what about their flight into Egypt? Although they were well-known and established routes for the family to escape Herod's soldiers, they had to avoid those paths. Plus, fleeing in the middle of the night, they'd have to travel alone and without the usual protection of a caravan of people. Add to this that they'd have to find a place to stay and start their lives all over again in a foreign land, much like many of our refugees from war-torn areas have to do today. The family remained in Egypt, we're told, about 2 years, until the angel revisits Joseph with another message. Get up, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. Yet the danger is not completely over, for the angel warns him again in a dream not to return to Bethlehem, but to travel back to his home in Nazareth, which fulfills the prophecy. He will be called a Nazarene. Although there is no identifiable passage referencing this prophecy in the Old Testament, some have offered that this refers to Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah being despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, one held in low esteem. This may be exactly what Matthew was suggesting, for the people of Nazareth were scorned and shunned for their poor reputation. In fact, when Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus, Nathanael answers him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Unlike Paul, who boldly proclaims his Roman citizenship, by placing himself in Nazareth, Jesus reaffirms that he's identifying with the lowly and despised of the world to ensure that all of us are confidently loved and accepted, despite our place of birth or our family's reputation. Well, the entire journey from Bethlehem to Egypt and back to Nazareth, some commentators suggest it took about 2,000 kilometers for their journey, which was over 1,000 miles. What an exhausting trip in that time with a young wife and child. But Joseph, sensitive as he was to God's instruction, leads them safely to each place of refuge. Fathers, this calls to you to care for your families and listen closely to what the Holy Spirit is instructing you to do to provide for them under God's and anointed protection, because you've been called to do that, fathers, and you've been appointed to that task. How are these scriptures to act as a guide for us as we enter this new year? For one thing, we need to look to the Lord for guidance and trust that he will show us the way. When he does, we need to listen and follow his direction. Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy, we read in Deuteronomy. It was Joseph's obedience that saved his wife and young Jesus. Further, we need to trust that the path is a safe way to go, even if we don't know for sure what's out there, where we'll stay, or what we'll do. As David proclaims, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection, for he has made a wide path for our feet to keep them from slipping. God is never unsure of the way or uncertain of the path we should take. In fact, he has planned that path, knowing that it is a safe passage for the future he has for us. Even Job declares, "You examine all my paths. You trace all my footprints." Even if at times the way may seem scary and uncertain, God promises, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Although the enemy may set a trap or weary you with worry, there may seem to be insurmountable difficulties like the Red Sea before and the soldiers behind. Still, God can lead us through by creating a path no one knew was there. Make no compromises with evil or listen to those who want to make fast money or go along a path of immorality. We are told to put our hope in the Lord and travel steadily along his path. Ask God for wisdom, as Solomon did and James advises, for she will guide you down to delightful paths, as all of her ways are satisfying. Moreover, accept guidance along this journey. After all, the wise men listened to Herod's spiritual leaders and found Jesus in Bethlehem. Make sure you commit yourself to a body of believers to learn the word of the Lord and worship and give faithfully to him. God smooths out the path ahead of us and gives us light in the darkness to guide us to the paths of peace, as we really read in Luke 1. Beloved, we get to choose right now the path we will take for 2024. Although it may seem like a path into Egypt, may we know that if we're following God's plan, it will be the best and brightest way. Therefore, let us follow the path that Jesus has mapped out for us, for it will be light in the darkness, peace in the chaos, and hope in the uncertainty. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.